Welcome to the Student of the Game Fire Podcast with your host, Danny B. Today's guest is Juan. 10 years of career experience, a driver on Engine 16 with Fort Lauderdale Fire Rescue, creator of Working Fire Co. on social media. From the moment Juan entered the fire service, he knew he always wanted to go big city, which is every single individual's right. But what set him apart was the work, mental fortitude, and grind he put in behind the scenes that set him up for success down the road. One of Juan's quotes was, "I always stayed uncomfortable being comfortable." And even in the eyes of defeat, Juan never let off on the pedal of determination. With that, I present Mr. Juan.
Hey, how's it going? My name is Juan. Just to start off with how I got into the fire service. Since I was a little kid, when I first moved over here to Florida, I would always see fire trucks, neighbor from the city department where I lived. And I would always see them zooming up and down, and it always sparked an interest, but that I thought it was just kind of one of those childhood dreams. Now, fast forward, I graduated high school. One of my best friends, he got into the fire service right away. And I was kind of, lost and kind of trying to figure out my life. He was already, gone through school, gone through fire academy and all that. He was on the job. And he would always tell me, "Hey, man, like, you should definitely take a class. You know, right now you don't know what you're doing. Just, I think you'd be good at this. Take the class. See if you like it. If you don't like it, it's a semester. But if you like it, there's something that you that might be good for you." And I said, "Fuck it. Let's take the class." Something that I always kind of had in the back of my mind. And it was as soon as it was an EMT class. That's kind of how I started. How the school is down here in South Florida. And I was like, "Oh yeah, this is it." I went to a firehouse, did a ride along, and I was like, "All right, I like this firehouse. I like how things are, and what's next?" So I did EMT first. And then after that, I started paramedic school here in South Florida. You have to be dual certified. So you're a fireman and you're also a paramedic. So while I was in school for that, I, trying to get a job, trying to make some money. So I was working at a private ambulance company and it sucked. It's terrible. But I took it as a learning experience, what can I get out of working here, out of just transporting these BLS patients back and forth between, the nursing home and wherever. And I just kind of started my work ethic since then, check out my truck, do what I have to do. And some people would ask me, "Hey, why are you doing that?" And I would tell them, "Well, here pretty soon, I'm going to be probie somewhere. And I want to just start from now, and kind of start building myself up." And from there, I said, I gotta do something else that's more than this. I started researching here in Florida, and I went over to the West Coast in Fort Myers. You can work over there with Lee County EMS as just an EMT or paramedic alone without your fire cert. So I said, "All right, let's go do this. At least I can start now working in a 911 system, start getting experience. You can start working towards a pension and start learning more and, being a firehouse." So I did that. I was still in school. I was working over there. So be on for 24 hours, go straight to school, so it was tough, but, when you want to do something and you got your mind set to it, you're going to do it. So I was lucky enough that the fire academy, once I was done with paramedic school, fire academy over there in Fort Myers, they had a shift friendly fire academy. So, things were just kind of landing for me. I was in school, got a job with a department, EMS department. Fire Academy came up, shift friendly, perfect, signed up, let's go. And while I was in the Fire Academy, one of the instructors kind of reached out to me and he was like, "Hey man, my department's hiring. Would you be interested in putting an application?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm in. Let's, you know, where do I sign up? You know, and so I put in the application, you know, went through that hiring, and I got hired over there at Iona McGregor, five station fire district in Fort Myers. And you know, from there on, things just, you know, got so much better. You know, I was in a firehouse, I was in fire department. Things are just, you know, each step I was taking, you know, I was progressing towards my goals, right? I was lucky enough that the fire department that I got hired at had some great firemen. You know, there's no other ways to just put it that I was put in a good place at the right times. You know, I had some great mentors from the beginning. Like probation was just, it was awesome to be able to learn from these guys. One of my mentors was John Lockwood. So I got to learn a lot under him. My crews, I got to learn a lot under them. And as you know, as time went on, you know, I started getting telling myself, all right, where do I want to be? Do I want to stay here at this fire department, or do I want more? And I wanted more. I wanted to be in a big city fire department. And I told myself, all right, well, I'm gonna give myself 5 years. Within 5 years, I got to figure this out. Either I'm staying and we're, you know, we're locked in, or you know, we're going to another fire department. So right around that time, I started kind of venturing to see if I was going to go out of state or if I was going to stay in state. So I was when I was looking out of state, I was looking at going to Colorado. I was looking to go out to DC or staying here in where I was from, and that department was for Lauderdale. So I kind of did my homework, kind of, you know, talked to family, talked to my girlfriend at the time to see what was the right decision. And ultimately, the right decision for, you know, me, my family, and all of us was to stay in state. And you know, I got picked up with Fort Lauderdale Fire Department, and you know, the rest has just been history. You know, it's just been continuing to learn, continuing to meet other mentors that have, you know, brought me along with them. And again, I've been put in some really good spots to learn from some of the best guys around.
With that being said, you mentioned mentors. How big do you think that plays a factor in the development of a new person coming in?
I think it plays a huge role, because if somebody takes you under their wing right away and starts showing you, not necessarily, I don't want to say the right way, right? Because we all think that we have the right way of doing things, right? But if they start showing you, hey, let's do a drill. All right, perfect. We're gonna mask up. Perfect. All right. As we're gonna mask up, we're gonna mask up and be under 30 seconds. We're gonna mask up and learn how to mask up with our gloves on. So you start building through that mentorship. The standard is raised a little every single time from the get-go. Like that, it's just setting you up for success, right? Having a mentor just for firehouse life, right? Hey, you know, what do I do when this happens? Hey, I had this run-in, or hey, I don't know what to do is in this situation. Having somebody to kind of, you know, not feel like, oh shit, I can't talk to anybody, you know, definitely plays a big role. And just showing you things that you don't know. Like one of the things that at that time, when I was a probie, is I didn't know that there was so much more learning that you can do with fire conferences, hot classes, and stuff like that. So John and Nick, another guy, great guy from Iona, they said, hey man, we're going to take some classes over at the Fort Lauderdale Fire Expo. You know, you want to join with us? You want to come? I was like, yeah, sure, I'm in. I don't know what that is, but let's go. And you know, it was live fire classes. You know, it was putting me in situations where I was just like, oh, this is awesome. Like, I want more of this. You know, so through that mentorship, if I didn't have those guys, and you know, let's say it was a guy that isn't really that into the job and just wants to lay on the recliner and all that. If that's what you learned, then, you know, you're not going to get the same experience from, even the same place.
No, you're definitely right. You're right. With that being said, I'm assuming you are a huge proponent for outside training.
Yes. And part of one of those things is learning through the mentor, right? Those I would see those guys out there training and doing this and doing that, and I was like, man, those guys are always in the bay doing something. They're not inside. So we are on separate shifts. So I would be on my shift, and sometimes you would have other guys float in that were just from different crews or whatever, and they would catch me outside. They're like, hey, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm just stretching, this line from this, from this prop that we got over here, because, I think that's pretty much like, something that I should be doing. I want to kind of get really good at doing this, do it 10 times, do it 15 times. So that kind of started setting myself up for, being out in your gear. Not come over to Fort Lauderdale, and I got a lot of other guys that, are, amazing with what they do with this. And, they brought in this whole culture of, hey, let's get in gear and train. Let's do a gear workout. Let's go for a ruck, right? Just get in gear and just go for a ruck. Put something heavy on and let's just go walk, and that culture, can shift. If some guys haven't done it in a long time, they start seeing a guy out in the bay and then start, they might start questioning, hey, why are you doing that? Well, because this and this, and then they're like, all right, well, I haven't done that in a long time. Let's go do that. I'll join you. Show me what you're doing. I'll do that, So you start creating, by being in your gear, you start creating some type of interest that maybe somebody lost at some point, So I think part of being in your gear outside is important.
No, you're definitely right. It's either they're gonna come out and see you doing something, and they're either gonna join or they're gonna go back inside.
Right.
Like it's it, either way, to me it's like whatever. I'm gonna do me.
Yep, that's it.
One question I definitely wanted to ask you, because you have the experience. So you went from Fort Myers to Fort Lauderdale. Fort Lauderdale is definitely a lot, a larger department than Fort Myers. We have this notion sometimes that firefighters have this notion that they're not a true firefighter unless they're working for the big city. But you can attest to both. So what's your opinion on that?
I've definitely been at both. So the Iona McGregor Fire District was a small department that I was at, five firehouses. I can't remember the exact number of people per shift. I think it was maybe like around like 20, 25. And with learning through that is first coming in through a small fire department. That's what I knew, right? I didn't know any more until I went outside and started learning, oh, there's a lot more to this. But we're still doing the same things that, let's say, I do now at Fort Lauderdale, right? We're still training, we're still getting outside, we're still going to classes. They're really good about over there having like a monthly co-op. So bunch of the fire departments will get together once a month. They will send one or two crews out to the fire academy and run whatever drill was, in the books, right? All right, hey, this drill is going to be all forcible entry and throwing ladders, So you would have five neighboring departments all, drilling together, and then at the end of the day will be, one, drill with everybody going at the same time. As you know, and we're a small fire department, we're doing it. We're still getting our fires over there too. Especially, depending on which firehouse you were at, that you border the other districts, you're more likely to catch one of their fires, Now coming over to a big city, I'm still seeing the same things, right? I still seeing the same amount of calls, more amount of calls, obviously. It's a bigger, big metro area. So it's just more consistent. And what I saw over there in 5 years, I probably saw over here in 1 year. So that is the big difference. It's just the amount of calls that come in, you're just more exposed to getting that experience, So it's a big change, but I kind of it was something that I wanted, so it was kind of an easy change for me.
Okay. All right. And also one more question I'd like to ask. It's not easy when once you get into a department, right? And you kind of, I don't want to say get settled, but you kind of get your bearings, but then you have that notion like, man, I want to go somewhere else. And you said, you know, you talk to family and friends and, you know, your girlfriend and things like that to kind of weigh that balance. But you did eventually make that switch. What's your advice to anybody out there that's maybe struggling because maybe their department isn't up to their standards, or they're surrounded by a crew that's terrible? You know, what's your opinion to tell others if they want to make that move?
I would definitely say make a list of short-term goals and your long-term goals, right? See what you want, right? First, that's what I asked, that's what I did. I said, all right, these are my goals that I want. So I started questioning how should I go about it. And I talked to a couple of my close friends and to let them know first. And it was a struggle because I had, you know, a lot of close friendships, and it was tough that you're like, man, I'm gonna go somewhere else. But I would just say, you know, have that those ideas in your head of what you want to do and what you see yourself doing. If you know you're kind of in a bad spot, bad crew, or you know, just a crew that is not seeing you eye to eye, and you're like, you want more, maybe start working a little bit more of, all right, well, let's maybe switch crews, see if you can go to a different shift or something like that. But if it's ultimately like, hey, I want to be in a big city department and I'm in a small city, I would say just, you know, you got to go for it, right? If you don't try and you don't put yourself out there, you're never going to find out what if, right? And then you're always going to sit there, you know, what if I would have gone, you know, 5 years ago or whatever. And that was the one thing that I did is, you know, I kind of had my plans, I had my goals, and I stuck to that. You know, and it just worked out the way too of, you know, putting the application in, you know, that 6 months later, you started getting the phone calls. And it took me two tries to get into with Fort Lauderdale. It was my first try. So I don't get discouraged if that happens, right? The first try, I got all the way to the Chiefs interview, and you know, I just for whatever reason, you know, I just wasn't chosen. And it, you know, it sucks, gets you down, but I said, all right. Let's work on what I got going on right now, right? And that's taken maybe working on a degree, right? Getting ready. I didn't have any like of my driver courses or anything like that. So I was like, all right, let's work on myself, get myself ready so that next time that I do apply, I can, you know, have more experience. You know, I was able to I got on the dive team at Iona McGregor. You know, I was able to start keep doing things that were available to me, you know. So not completely get yourself down over that. But you know, it's just putting yourself out there and, you know, taking those chances and setting yourself up for success with your goals, you know.
Absolutely. You got to put yourself out there if you want to obtain your goals. So I understand that 100%. So I'm going to fast forward a little bit. You make the switch, you finally get that call, you get on. I'm assuming you have to do a rookie school, right?
Yep. Go through Fire Cat, like not Fire Academy, but like our own academy.
What was that process like, and how was your first year?
The process, you know, was about 10 weeks of our own academy. It was tough, you know, because you're kind of going back to, you know, zero again. You're starting from zero, and that's okay. You know, that was one of the main things that I was like, I've been here before. I know what to expect. I know what I got to do. Let's go. You know, this is you're where you're at, where you want it to be. I'm, you know, got hired with a great group of guys. I think the most challenging part was like you said, once you're at a place at a department, you kind of have your kind of like your everyday routine. I think that was the hardest part of, you know, starting over, right? So probation for me, I call it, you got to play the game, right? I'm gonna play the game better than you can. All right. I'm gonna go clean the shitters better than anybody else can. I'm gonna go sweep a mop better than anybody else can. you know, I'm going to do all that. I'm going to go out there and get my drills done. And, you know, I'm going to listen, I'm going to learn, right? Maybe, you know, just because I have experience and I know how to pull on or do this or do that doesn't mean that I can't hear that from somebody else's perspective. You know, just one of those things that, you know, some guys say, hey, you gotta, you know, listen more than you're talking. I think that's extremely true. Nobody care with, you know, me being a new guy, nobody, not that they didn't care, but I don't care what you did before. Right. So I didn't bother telling anybody what I did before. I just kept my mouth shut and, you know, kept progressing forward. You know, whatever opportunity that I would get, I would take, of, you know, trying to be outside, you know, I would, again, I would, we had 6 month and 11 month tests, right? So you got to get ready for those. I would go outside and, you know, one of the standards that we have at Fort Lauderdale is you got to mask up within a certain amount of seconds, right? I'm pretty good with my mask up, but it didn't mean that I was just going to stop. You know, I would go outside, get in gear, tell my captain, hey, are you cool if I just, you know, do some drills by myself masking up? I'm going to use a bottle, you know. Yeah, that's fine. Go, you know, use up the bottle. That's not a problem. We'll refill it without a problem, you know? So once you start progressing through your probation, for me, like I said before, the hardest part was I had a routine before, you know, and I tell guys, you know, I think one of the best parts of, you know, being on shift too is being at the kitchen table, right? Drinking your coffee in the morning when you're getting on and you're getting off. I didn't want to be like that new guy that just came and sat down in the morning. So I was always just trying to stay busy, you know? So take out the trash again, make sure that, you know, whatever, everything's clean, you know? And I just always stayed uncomfortable because I didn't want to be comfortable. You know, I always maintained that throughout my first year. And I gave myself, the ultimate goal was getting off probation and being able to have a cup of coffee with the guys again, you know? So, you know, I kind of say it a lot. Like one of my stickers says it, you just got to work hard and stay humble, right? That's the biggest part of it too, that I took going into my second year of probation, right? Because it was my second year, second time that I was doing it, is if I just work hard and I stay humble, I'm going to get through this and it's going to, everything's going to be all right, you know? Right. And it's just kind of take that as I go, even now.
Okay. The current crew that you were assigned to upon completion of, you know, Fort Lauderdale's rookie school, is that the same crew you're on now?
No, it's a complete different crew. So once you get on probation, you know, you finish a rookie academy and you get on in operations, you're basically a city float. You bounce around the whole city, so you're not set with just one crew. You can be in different battalions every other shift, so you never have a set crew. So the set crew that I have now, I'm even on a different shift. Before when I got on, I was on A shift. Now I'm on B shift. So, and I never really got set in on a crew because I was always floating the city.
Okay, okay. So, my question I'd like to ask you, what initiated the change to get promoted? Because you're now a driver, which is that's a promotable position, correct?
That's a promotion.
Okay.
So South Florida is kind of different than other parts of the country, right? Where, especially in this Tri-County area, we transport, you know, so we, mm-hmm. we do the EMS transports. We call them rescues down here. So our terminology is a little bit different. So when you're new, you're basically your first year, you'll be on an engine a lot, you know, cause you're getting your drill signed off, getting that experience. But then once you're done, you kind of get put on the box and, you know, I just didn't want to be on the box. I wanted to be on an engine.
Right.
You know, that's what I wanted to do. And I kind of told myself, all right, I already have my classes. I set myself up for this, right? I took my classes before I even came over here. I was ready to go. So things just kind of lined up that I had enough time to apply for the to be able to take the test by my hire date. So, you know, it kind of, all that kind of just lined up. So, you know, I took the opportunity. I said, I'm able to take this chance. Let's fucking go again. You know, let's take the chance, see what happens. If, If I get promoted, awesome. If I don't, now I just got the experience of at least taking the test, you know?
Right. How many chances did it take?
I got promoted. I took the test once and I got promoted
Okay.
from the first.
So with that being said, no, okay. I'm gonna disregard that because I'm just now thinking back to you said that once you got off probation, they put you on a box, and most firemen, I mean, it's one of those necessary evils. You know, it's either if the department does transports, you either do them or you don't. But I totally get guys that sign up to work for the fire department, but not to ride the bus. So
Yeah.
I get your sentiments on that.
And listen, I when I was on the box, I was still a fireman and I was still a paramedic, right? So I was a good paramedic. I was still good at the job. But you know, when I would work with guys that were on the same page and you know, we heard that fire and we're getting bunked out, getting dressed and getting ready to go. So we didn't let that hold us back either, you know. You can be as aggressive as you can, right? Some guys we'll get on scene on that on the box and say, "Hey, I got medical sector." We would be the ones that, or at least I would try to be on the box that didn't get medical sector, you know.
So within Fort Lauderdale, that's allowed because there are some de departments where like personnel on the bus can't act in fire suppression mode. They have to immediately go to like medical, but you have that option there.
Yeah, depending on which arriving, like if you're the first arriving rescue unit or the box or whatever, you're able to do two things. If you can, you know, be put in a role as to like, you know, get together with the engine and help them stretch, or they'll, you know, put you to search, put you to VS, put you whatever they, you know, role that, especially if you're first due, then the second due rescue comes in and they're the ones that take medical. But obviously if you show up, you're the first rescue, you show up and you know you've got a victim, that's the role that you're going to take. You're taking the role that it's going to be your scene that's immediate for you to do.
Okay. All right. So my first official question to you is, in your opinion, what does the term aggressive mean to you?
You know, I think to me the term aggressive has different aspects of it, right? So when I was in rookie school, one of our chiefs, Chief Moran, he's awesome. I learned a lot from him. One of the things, and I was just talking to him about this, is what our city, a lot of other places call us cowboys, right? They call us, "Oh, you guys are just aggressive cowboys and you know, you're reckless. You go in there and just do whatever you want." It's like, so one of the things he says is, "We're cowboys and we're aggressive, but we're not reckless, right?" Being aggressive means you're taking action at what you're seeing and you're expecting something to happen, right? If I do this, I'm expecting for this to happen. And that in part, if I'm making the push, I'm being aggressive and I'm expecting to get a result. That result's not happening, then all right, we got to think about this. Why is it not happening? You know, being aggressive, for sure, the part is not being reckless. You know, we're not just going to start breaking every single window as hard as we can because that's reckless. That's not aggressive. That's stupid, right? Being aggressive is knowing how to handle a situation, right? How to troubleshoot the situation. You know, maybe we've got a tough stretch, you know, and by the training that I've had, by, you know, running these, you know, scenarios out in the bay, we've already set ourselves for success by, you know, to be able to be aggressive, you know, being smart, being effective on the fire ground. But I think it's not just that. One of the things that to me being aggressive is setting yourself up for success by, you know, being fit, training in gear. You know, I think to me that term aggressive fireman has different aspects, right? And when all those things come together, you're able to be that aggressive fireman that you want to be. But if you haven't stretched the line in a year and now you get a first due fire and you know you're like, "Oh, all right, let's go," and you fuck it up, you fuck up the stretch. You're not able to be an aggressive fireman that you thought you wanted to be, right? So to me, being aggressive is kind of like a different takes on it, because once you put all those things together, you know, that's what lets you be, you know, aggressive, that cowboy that, you know, we all want to be.
Right. Okay. With you being a driver and the way you just explain that, it's probably safe to say in my mind that you're what I call an aggressive driver. So what I mean by that is you get to the scene promptly, fast, safe, aggressive. But when you arrive on scene, I don't see you just standing behind the pump panel. You're going to be doing different things, right?
I've only been a driver now, and 2 years now I've been a driver, and I try to learn from other drivers that, you know, were senior to me, and I would always ask them, hey, what do you do when you see this? Hey, what do you do when you get when you kind of find this situation? I would ask my captains that, you know, that they've been drivers before. Hey, if you show up to this, you know, fire or whatever, and you see this, would this be okay if I did this? You know, so I don't want to stay in one place. I'm bouncing back and forth. Hey, what do you need? All right. Hey, I'm, you know, stretching the backup line, setting that up, you know, helping, you know, we gotta, you know, get water, you know, whatever you gotta do, I'm there. And, you know, once all those things are done, then that's when, you know, start putting on some gear and see if you can get tagged in. If not, then, you know, you just kind of stick to your role of what you got.
Okay. I like it. I mean, that's to me, everything that you're saying is how I personally try to, you know, relate to and conduct myself. Meaning I do talk to the senior drivers because those guys, man, you know, the ones that have been doing it for a long time, they can tell you different things, little tips and tricks with the truck, sounds of the pump, you know, just different things that help you better yourself. So yeah. I'm in 100% agreement with that.
And the other things is fucking up, right? Making mistakes. I think, you know, I've made my share of mistakes that I've definitely learned from, and learning from others' mistakes. You know, I'll talk to some guys and they'll tell me, yeah, hey, man, I messed up and I did this. And, you know, what I was like, oh, I've never thought about that happening. You know, I see what you did. I can definitely keep that in the back of my mind. Me making my own mistakes, you know, I keep those always in the back of my mind. Like, all right, hey, you've been here before. This is what happened last time. We already learned from this. We're going to already got that issue fixed, you know. And it's always kind of troubleshooting, right? Sometimes, you know, different trucks are going to do different things. Right. I know for sure I was at a recent fire that, you know, the one truck was giving to, you know, was the relief valve was going off. So it's like, all right, that means, you know, they're getting too much pressure. So let's, you know, troubleshoot, see what's going on, gate it down, fix, not a problem. You know, older trucks behave different than new trucks, you know?
That's a fact. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I've said this before too, in another, I was talking to a gentleman regarding pumps and trucks, but every department has that truck that won't go into pump gear the first time, you know? And it's like, you can't, whenever I have a firefighter that's getting ready to not promote, but, you know, they want to start learning the pump and driving. It's like, hey, these lights and indicators are great, but don't rely on it, because, you know, you have somewhere, once they gauge the pump, they have to wait on the green light for okay to pump to come on. And it's like, yeah, okay, that's cool. It's a tool, but listen to the truck, because you will feel when that truck's engaged in the okay to pump mode. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah, for sure.
I'm okay, cool. I'm good with that. Question three, should there be a years of service clause for promotion?
I think there should be, and it's kind of almost, I don't want to be a hypocrite because of where I'm at, that I've been able to take tests with what we have. At my first fire department, when I was there, I was able to take the first driver's test that I was, when I was there, right? I think I had two and a half years on. I was able to sit for that test. And I told myself, I was like, nope, I'm not taking that test. It's you need to learn how to be a fireman first before you can try to learn something else. I can try to be a backup driver. I can definitely, you know, start doing those things, learning before I, you know, take the test. So in that sense, I think there, I think there does need to be kind of like, let's not push everybody just, into the next position just because it's available. But on the other hand, I do know that sometimes that does need to happen because we have so many retirements and so much movement that if we don't do this, then we're not gonna have the anybody to promote. So it's kind of you got to see it from both ways, and that's why it's kind of one of those things. It's let's figure out a way so that we can, when we get to that seat, to that promotion where we've had some experience, but at the same time, let's not push everybody through it without, giving them that experience first, which is tough too. It's tough to get that experience. Me coming on to taking on the test that I did take, even though I was a brand new guy and I also had just hit 2 years, I had time before. And, I know it was at another department. I know it wasn't at the same department, but I still had that experience that I could bounce back on. So I felt okay with taking the test. Now I'm preparing myself to take the next step, for the next promotional test. And again, I look at myself and I say, hey, should we take this test? And right now, with how much movement there is and how many people are retiring, it's, I've got a total of 10 years, and I think I'm pretty good with, I'm with saying that I can take a test that with 10 years of being in the fire service. So I think I'm lucky that I'm able to have that. And just learning from other guys is kind of probably something that plays into that. If somebody doesn't have those mentors and role models and they try to take a test, they might see it from a different point of view of just trying to get more money, trying to get that next step to just get a bigger paycheck.
No, definitely. You're right. You're right. And with that being said, and who you surround yourself with, you drive for Captain Ricci, correct?
Yeah, he's my
So
captain. I drive him.
that man himself, I know he does a lot for the fire service, outside training, inside training within Fort Lauderdale, very active, always wanting to train. So that has to help where if you're deciding on going to the next step, you can pick his brain and get some info from him.
Yeah, that I mean I that's basically what I try to do every shift with him. It's just ask, hey, we'll be on a medical call, and I'll just be like, hey, what do you think we should stretch here? What do you think we should, you think we can make it with this? You think we could hit it from those stairs, or just talk about random things like that, because we're in our first due, and if it does happen, at least we've had the conversation. We've had our game plans. And even just kind of like just asking them, hey, what would you do if this happens, right? What would you do if you get into this situation? And it's somebody that's had the experience, and I just, I take that and, kind of put it in the back of my head. And just like I ask him, I ask a lot of other guys too. We'll have some captains float in, and I'll just ask them, hey, what would you do in, what do you do in this situation? Like, 'cause I don't know what, and he's like, oh, well, this is, kind of what we'll do in this situation. I'm like, all right, that's co complete different, way of viewing it, seeing things. And I like seeing different, aspects of, people's views.
Okay. And the next step is it lieutenant or captain?
Captain. You can
Captain.
take, yeah, you can take, you can go take the lieutenant's test, but if you're a lieutenant, you're on the box.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's
So,
either you take the captain's test or the lieutenant's test. So,
and the captain's test, you obviously you stay on a fire apparatus.
yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. Okay. What's your niche, engine or ladder work?
That's funny. I love the engine. When I was at Iona, I was on the truck over there, and we had like it was a great time. I enjoyed my time being on the ladder over there with some of those guys. So I was kind of able to, I have a good mix of both, but for I'm an engine guy, and we have a big engine culture in Fort Lauderdale. We're really good at, at being an engine company. So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm, driving an engine, and just kind of that's where I'm at,
If you're successful with the captain's test, how does it work? Is there a chance you could be put on a ladder or no?
There is, But it would like they it probably won't, right?
Okay.
More than likely the senior captain at that firehouse is gonna take the ladder, right?
Okay.
So that the captain that's on the engine for that for our firehouse will have an engine and a ladder, right? There's a captain on both trucks. If the ladder captain is out on, vac or whatever, the engine captain will slide over to the ladder and then they'll plug in a float captain in, on the engine. But
Okay.
if both frontline captains are gone, then it's kind of those things that yeah, they might put you on the ladder, but more than likely whoever else is coming in, they'll throw them on the ladder, whoever has more experience.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. So people are gonna know sentiments of maybe who you are now with this next question. So I always like to ask, how did the Working Fire Company social media page, how did that occur? Like, as I always like to ask, what tripped your internal breaker to go, hey, I'm gonna do this?
So I've always kind of had like these little ideas for, stupid little stickers or whatever. 'Cause I would buy a couple from a page or whatever. I'll buy this, and I'll be like, all right, I like this, but I kind of would like it if it had this or that, And I would write those ideas down on my phone. And, I had like 10 or 15. And I would always talk to my wife about it. It was like, oh yeah, I think it'll be cool to do this. I think it'll be cool to do that. And one day she was just like, can you just stop talking about it and just do it already? Just do it. I was like, really? You think I could? She's like, yeah, just do it. You sounds like you pretty much know what you're gonna do. So I was like, all right, well, I guess we're gonna do it. And I kind of started researching on, how to start, right? I had no clue. Like the first name that I came up with for the company was Not Working Fire. It was like I named it Send It Graphics,
Okay.
right? And it was I don't know why. I think it was just because like I would say send it or something like that. And I one day I was kind of like, ah, this is not it's not it's not what it's not I'm not where I want to be, right? This isn't like a I'm not a graphics company. I'm nothing like that. I'm like going back and forth, and I was like, what do I like to do? What does other people would like to what do they like to do when within the fire service? I'm like I like to go to fires. It's like so I started researching. All right, what's something that's related to fires, right? It was like working fires, and I started researching, is there anybody that's called working fire? And I didn't find anybody. I looked up an LLC. There was nothing that was popping up as an LLC. I think somebody had a similar one, but they weren't, it wasn't active. And I was like, I think this is it. I think this name speaks to the fire service. Like they see that name and it's easily recognizable. And change the name, and that's ever since that happened, it kind of took off. I've been learning a lot. It's kind of been learning on the fly. I've been talking to a lot of other guys. I would reach out to other pages. And I would just kind of learn as I went, and it's blown up to something that I was not expecting. I was not expecting to be where the page is now. And one of the main things about the page that is that it's not about me, right? The page, I always intended it to be about others, right? I always kind of like, you would take a picture and you send it somewhere to one of these pages or whatever, and like nobody really gets back to you or whatever. Like, so I kind of always wanted to be the page that if you shoot me a DM, I'm gonna reply back to you. If you shoot, you know what I mean? If you want your crew up there, I'm gonna put it up because that's gonna like you're gonna be like, oh man, that's cool. We made it up there. That's cool.
Right,
And
right.
I want to share that with every within the service with and the page kind of just took off slowly but surely. Definitely not what I was expecting. And I've been meeting a lot of great guys through this online presence, this platform that we have, and taking those opportunities to see what's next, right? So one of the things that I wanted to do is I started kind of like doing a couple of the giveaways, give out some gear or whatever. some guys will, you know, reach out to me, hey, I'm doing a giveaway. Can, you know, would you mind donating something? And I'm like, absolutely. What do you need? What can I send you? You know, because they're trying to raise funds for whatever. Whether I think it's, you know, sometimes it's to raise funds for their own firehouse, like a volunteer firehouse or something like that. I've sent a couple of stuff. But one of the things that I wanted to do, and I've got going on right now, is I'm doing a giveaway for a spot at the Fort Lauderdale Fire Expo. So I kind of wanted to use a platform to also get guys to go to these conferences and classes, because I know how much that meant to me when I was new, right? So if I'm able to give it to somebody and they can attend one of these classes, I think that's a win, you know. So that's kind of how I've taken this platform to that level. And I'm surprised that I was able to do it so soon. So that's kind of how Working Fire started.
No, I mean, that's, you know, everybody wants to do something positive. Well, I don't want to say everybody, because unfortunately we have some people here that are just here, you know, paycheck t-shirt wearers, paycheck collectors, whatever you want to call them. But anybody that really wants to give back to the fire service, it's always neat to find like their thought process on, I want to do this and I want to contribute back or give back to the fire service. Because most of the time, I could tell for you and definitely for me, you know, I didn't grow up wanting to be a fireman at all. It
Right.
just happened, and once I got in it, I saw like, oh, okay, this is how it could be, this is how it should be. And then once you expose yourself to, just like you, I never knew fire conferences existed. I was like, what's a fire conference? And then when I found out what it is, I'm like, oh, you can go out there and do work. Like, you
Yeah.
train with people, you can sit in classes and listen to awesome, you know, presenters on their lectures on whatever various topics that will hit you to the core, because you can relate to your own experiences and your own department and things. So it's like, man, okay. So like you know, I started this to give back to the person who maybe is thinking about leaving the fire service altogether because their crew or their department isn't up to par with their standards,
Yeah.
or you know what I mean, they're going through a funk. And it's like, listen to Juan, which this person doesn't know you, but what you're telling and what you're describing is the same type of experience that that person, you know what I mean? So
They can
just
relate.
they can relate, that positive affirmation of keep going, work hard. Things aren't handed to you. That's the thing about the fire service. You have to work at it. People, it's so easy for people to be jealous or envious of this fireman or that fireman. And it's like, what you don't see is the work that that person is putting in behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So it's awesome to hear how you wanted to start it for this, but it's grown into something way bigger than you imagined.
Yeah.
And
Yeah,
that's.
definitely it has, you know, I appreciate everybody's support, like their orders coming in. And I'm hoping that, you know, I'm able to do more, you know. And we'll see, you know, it's I think I've been online now with that about 6 months, so we'll see what the next 6 months brings.
Wow, 6 months. Hey, hold on. I got to look at something real quick that you said it, because that is, let's see here. In 6 months, you have over 34,000 followers.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
It's crazy. And it kind of happened overnight. Kind of one, I made a post and within Instagram, it went viral, I guess you can call it. And then I woke up the next day and the page just kind of blew up. And a lot of, you know, a lot of the people that know me, that I've been seeing, you know, the page grow from the start, you know, they would always be like, hey man, that's amazing, like where you're at. And then I would see them, you know, a couple weeks later, hey, I've seen how much the page has grown, blah, blah, blah. And then I haven't seen them in a month. They're like, oh my God, like this, you're doing awesome. I can't believe it, you know, and I'm like, I know, I'm like, I don't know, but all I can say is thank you, because that just helps to, you know, have that reach, you know, to be able to reach out more.
No, definitely. Definitely. Okay. With that being said, I always like to ask the guests before we end it. And like I tell you, and like I told others, this is not like a bragging type thing, but where would you like to see yourself before you hang it up? Like, where would you like to be in the fire service before retirement?
Before retirement, I definitely would like to see myself in a place similar to where I am now, but as in an officer role or something like that. The firehouse that I'm at right now, the guys and the girls that I'm with is such an amazing place that I would love to see myself retiring with similar experiences, similar crews, because that that's part of why we're what makes our service so great, right? If we can be together as a firehouse, once we go, once the bell rings and we go on a call, it's we're in it together. We're doing this. We've got each other's back. I definitely have life goals of promotions. Like I said, I'm preparing myself to take that test. But I would like to see myself in a place where I can again see that brand new rookie and be able to be like, all right, hey, this is how it was for me. Like, let me help you out with this. Because I think leaving, your fire department, your firehouse better than you found it, I think that's what we should all strive for, So I think that's where I want to see myself, 20, 25 years, healthy, with, my family, close family, friends. So we'll see.
Okay. And it's probably a safe bet if you, well, I'm not going to say if you, once you are successful and you get that captain spot, the type of crew and relationship you have now is the same way you're going to try to form that with your new crew, correct? Because I think that's what we all want.
Yeah, it's kind of you always and I've had some other great crews as well back like when I was at Iona McGregor. I still keep in touch with some of those guys over there. A couple of them retired. I've gone and visited them in where they've moved to. And I think about those crews as well. I still go back to my old firehouse to say hi, go drink some coffee, see if they're having, dinner or whatever. Because you miss that, right? You miss those relationships that you don't get to see every day. So, I definitely would like to work towards, I guess as have that as a goal, have that solid crew that, when that call comes in and they see your, other people see your crew come and they're like, oh, thank God those guys are there. They're squared away. We got this. There's, we're good. Those guys are here, we're good. And Captain Ricci, he's been one of kind of like with our firehouse, the front runners for that. And he's kind of, led us to that, So and a lot of the guys that are close friends of mine too, that I would say are my mentors too, like they come in and the firehouse is running, as smooth as it can be because those guys are coming in and we're aggressive firemen.
And of course, you want to be that crew that when you arrive on scene and that battalion chief's like, you may not be next in line, but they hear engine such and such has arrived on scene or staging. And then you hear, hey, bring your crew up here to go to work. Like there's no greater feeling than that, I'm sure.
Yeah, man.
Juan, I want to say, man, thank you for seriously accepting the invite. He definitely told no lies. When you if you send him a DM, he responds back to you. So, because I mean, I hate to say it, but there's some people you reach out to, and I don't know if they know this, but Instagram will let you know that it's been seen, like you read their message. So just reply back with like a no if you don't want to do it or whatever. But Juan reached right back out, man, and we've been going back and forth, and I want to say. This is like a shameless plug here, but like I love his hats. I have two of them. So go check out his site. Oh yeah, that's what I forgot to do, man. Shameless plug. Plug in your website, bro.
You can check me out on Working Fire Co. on Instagram. The website is just Working Fire Co. Stop by, see if there's something you like. If there's not, shoot me a DM, see if I can come up with something. Shout out to a lot of the other guys too, that a lot of the other pages, because they've helped me out along the way too. just with stupid questions. Hey, how do you do this? How do you do that? You know, and I try to do that back because I see other pages reach out to me and I'm like, yeah, bro, what do you need? I got you. This is how I did it. This is how I worked this out. I don't know how I got there, but it's working so far, you know?
Right, right. And I mean, you know, it's cool that you reached out and you had questions and, you know, it's kind of like that, the hoarding of information in the fire service. It, like,
yeah.
No, share it. You know what I mean? Like, that's what this is all about. So, yeah, I wanted you to, you know, plug your website out. Like I said, go and look at it. He's got some awesome hats, flat bills. Flat bills are my thing. And
yeah, the green bottom.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's my jam right there. But
yeah, I mean, I definitely appreciate you reaching out, you know, giving me the chance to come on here with you. I've heard your podcast before. You're definitely doing some awesome things. In the mornings, usually when I'm getting my morning workout before shift, I'll throw on your podcast, see what other guys, you know, from around the country have to say, you know, other views, right? Other firehouses, departments, to see that the job is doing well. You know, we got a few bad apples here and there, and that's okay. But for the most part, the job is doing really well. The fire service is good. The brotherhood is good. We just got to keep that moving forward.
Absolutely. Brotherhood is alive and well. Like you said, just surround yourself with people you want to emulate. And I think everything works out in your favor. So once again, man, thank you for coming on and doing this.
Thank you, man.
If any of the listeners out there are or know of a great firefighter who embodies the principles of being a great communicator, goal-oriented, hardworking, humble, passionate, and professional, regardless of rank, career, or volunteer, contact me at studentofthegamefirepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, stay focused, stay committed, and stay safe.